Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I love laughter. Does anyone remember laughter? David Marler is joining us. Anyone who laughs at the jokes that I do not tell is now, he's now my buddy. He's my good buddy. If, you know, if I ever get down to New Mexico to pay him a visit, he's my good buddy. This is a fun show. I'm enjoying it. What do you think about disclosure? It sounds like the cheap way out. Well, they know the truth, so they're going to tell us. What do you think?
I don't think that we're ever going to have petitions that are going to suddenly pry the lid off of the UFO, quote-unquote UFO secrecy. My own personal opinion is, and I've known people that have engaged in that endeavor at state and, you know, and national levels, I just have four words: an exercise in futility.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Plus, the petition is going to the wrong branch of government. The executive branch is not going to be involved in any disclosure initiative. It's going to have to start with Congress.
Yeah, I agree. And I talk about this in my book towards the end, where I try to, you know, extrapolate some conclusions and some ideas as far as what the state of affairs is with regard to UFOs and our government, and not just our government. I mean, I think, you know, we always have to keep in mind this is a global phenomenon. It's involving governments, plural. But again, my take is a little bit different than I think a lot of the people in the UFO community. I don't believe the government has the answers. You know, even if, as we you know, speculated earlier, if Roswell occurred and they have dead bodies and recovered spacecraft, that doesn't mean they've mastered the technology and they have any more answers than we do as far as where these things are from, why they're here, and how this technology works. And I really think that the, you know, if there is a quote-unquote cover-up, and, you know, we can kind of discuss that as far as how you would define that, because, you know, there's differences in the definition of that.
It's a cover up of their ignorance. They know a lot more than we do. That's why they're a lot more confused and a lot less likely to admit that they're not in control, which is
government. That's the conclusion that I've arrived at as well. It's not based on the fact that they know. It's based on the fact they don't know. And we pay our tax dollars so they do know, so they do have a handle on things, so they can protect us, so they can control our airspace. But when you have objects of unknown origin that are not only violating our airspace, but restricted airspace over areas, as Robert Hastings has researched, over nuclear weapons storage facilities, in 1952, UFOs over restricted airspace over the Capitol and the White House, they are not going to acknowledge that. And you have to ask yourself, if you were in their position, why would you?
What do you think the authorities know about any of this? Or are they as mystified as the rest of us and just won't admit it?
Well, obviously, I don't know what they have tucked away in their hangars and what objects may have been recovered. But I think just from a conservative standpoint, if we can assume that at least a small portion of the accounts that we have going back 60, almost 70 years now, where pilots have sighted UFOs, captured them on gun camera footage, if the accounts of the late Gordon Cooper can be taken at face value, where this UFO sat down on the dry lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base, and it was filmed, and Gordon Cooper, you know, American hero, states he saw the footage, he held it up to the light, and it was good, clear footage. And a courier from Washington came, collected the film, and took it back. We have numerous accounts of this. And that's just, I'm just talking film footage. They know more than we do. I think we can safely assume that, especially with their level today as far as satellites and imaging and sensing equipment. I think we can safely assume they know more than we do. Now, obviously, we don't know the details and the degree to which they know more. But they know more than we do. But that being said, to our point we were just discussing, that just because you have information doesn't mean you have answers. And I often say that in my lectures. I have a very large library, which hopefully when you guys get a chance to come out to Albuquerque next time, I'd love for you to see. But just because I have case material and lots of information doesn't mean I'm any closer to answers than the first day I started going down this path of investigation.
I often say that I'm way more confused now than I was when I first started 20-plus years ago.
But I just think we need to make that distinction. Just because you have information, it does not equate to answers.
Chris, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I was going to dive into the Stevensville events from a few years back, where we have multiple sightings of what appear to be a triangular craft in conjunction with F-16s that were first denied being in the air at the time by the military. And then later on, they said, oh, yeah, well, we did have some planes up there, but there was nothing to it. And also the possible incursion of restricted airspace around Bush's Crawford Ranch.
Absolutely.
Well, yes. Let's discuss that case a little bit, because that to me is one of the more compelling cases of recent years.
It's one of the more compelling cases. Obviously, we have a number of eyewitness testimony again. And the interesting aspect, which you touched on, was the fact that we had these jets operating in the area at the time. And I don't think that, you know, a lot of people realize how significant the Stevensville sightings were insofar as the degree. And I believe MUFON even did an investigation with regard to radar as well at the time in that area, that there was an unknown object that was tracked on radar. Despite the fact, as many of the skeptics will say, well, this is all anecdotal eyewitness testimony and it can't be accepted. Well, let's just take Stevensville and let's look at the broader scope of Stevensville in the context of other reports. We have Stevensville with radar confirmation of an unknown target. We have jet interceptors in the air at the time, again, because of the proximity of the Crawford Ranch, as you mentioned. We also have Chilean Air Force that tracked on ground radar a triangular UFO back in 79 and 1980, two separate occasions. And they dispatched jet interceptors, and the jet interceptors were able to lock on to the triangular UFO, which was visually observed by one of the pilots, Captain Daniel Catalan Farias. And then we also have 1980, November 18th, 1980, as documented by Bob Pratt and reported in a number of newspapers, 1980 over the state of Missouri, north central Missouri, and parts of Kansas, a large triangular UFO that was sighted, and the FAA stated that they had tracked an unknown target at the time. And in addition, we have the Belgian wave, where we have ground-based radar, airborne radar lock-on of this UFO, in addition to ground visual observers. So we, you know, for people that say, and recently I had someone here in Albuquerque say, well, these are just stories, it's all anecdotal. Well, not when you have a number of radar cases that corroborate this. And to your point, Stevensville is one of those cases.
Yeah, and the idea that F-16s with huge afterburner flames shooting out the backside, really, you know, exercising the full military power trying to chase this thing down. It sounds like somebody took that particular event seriously.
Yes, and in point of fact, just this past Friday on the History Channel Canada, I worked on an episode which just aired last Friday there, and it covers the triangular UFO phenomenon. And in just, I believe, the second of two interviews, they actually interviewed the F-16 pilot, Eve, who actually did achieve the lock-on of that UFO on that night.
What about lighter-than-air aerial platforms that may be classified? You hear rumblings from time to time that we are developing these stealth blimps. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to answer and speak to some of the exotic propulsion issues, you know, going from standing still hovering to extremely fast speeds.
Absolutely.
But can we factor out these large, potentially classified aerial platforms?
Not at all. Not at all. In fact, I don't think we can rule out military with regard to any of these more modern reports, except for the fact, as you mentioned, the ability, the flight characteristics. And again, this isn't me talking. This is, you know, again, based on some of the aerospace engineers I've talked to, like Dr. Paul Ziss. You know, he based on, and his area was advanced propulsion technology. That was his specialty.
Let's go more into this in our next segment because I want to ask you something else that relates to it. We have David Marler with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain, and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
If you haven't done so already, neighbors, go and visit plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, where you can sign up for our subscription service To that, we give you some interesting benefits. First, the ad-free, commercial-free version of the PowerCast with a higher resolution copy. The After the PowerCast podcast, where Chris and I ruminate on all sorts of things, such as the time that he ripped out his satellite TV installation on the last week's episode. Go to plus.thepowercast.com, plus.thepowercast.com to learn more about signing up. We welcome you. David Marler is talking with us. He's author of a book about triangular UFOs, an estimate of the situation. And we're trying to estimate that situation right now. This is an interesting question here. Talking earlier about possible influences of alleged alien technology. And we all kind of agree that that technology may be far too advanced, if it exists, for us to make much sense of it. But what about in general? Is it possible here that exposed to anything like that, we would just, by the presence of UFOs, try to imitate in our own primitive way some kinds of technology? Do you think anything out there is based on the influence of the presence of UFOs, if not having control over the hardware?
Yes, I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination at all. In fact, I was reviewing some of the Project Blue Book reports from the early years, specifically here in the Albuquerque, Los Alamos area. A lot of engineers, a lot of scientists were extremely interested at the time in those early reports. And mainly because as a scientist, you're fueled by the idea of how do things work? How do they function? To your point, if we can't master or replicate the technology in total, then perhaps we can at least glimmer some ideas or gain some insights into being able to adapt our own existing technology in similar fashion. You know, with regard to the case I investigated back January 5th, 2000, involving that large triangular UFO near Scott Air Force Base, a lot of people assume because it was seen in proximity to Scott Air Force Base that it must be military. And I have gone on record from day one and stated the most practical explanation would be that, yes, this is something military. However, in the absence of any official disclosures to me, that UFO and these other UFOs have to be classified as unknown. Now, that being said, 10 years from now, if suddenly the Air Force declassifies documents or they unveil an aircraft that is triangular, that has the flight characteristics as demonstrated on January 5th, 2000, I'm more than willing to say, okay, we can now write that one off. But when you start going back historically, and that was one of the other issues for writing the book, or one of the reasons, rationales, was to show the history that, okay, in 2000, we might be able to explain this as man-made technology. How does that explain the cases in England in 1960 or over California in 1955? You know, I really tried to paint that tapestry of not only the geographic distribution of these reports, but the temporal distribution going back to the late 1800s, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, there is no one-size-fits-all answer, obviously, and we're probably dealing with multiple scenarios here. As with anything involving the UFO mystery, we do have a question at our question bank where our listeners are able to post questions for our guests at forum.theparacast.com. This particular question comes from Wade Ridsdale, who's one of our very active posters. You know, this is something I've always wondered about. He's wondering, in your opinion, what's up with the affinity these crafts seem to have with highways? And do reports that come from overseas tend to follow in this vein? It just seems to me that they seem to follow roads for some reason. The Phoenix Lights, Stevensville, you can go down the list, the Hudson Valley cases tended to follow some of the parkways, the Taconic, the Sawmill, the Henry Hudson Parkway. Have you noticed a correlation between these flight paths tending to mirror highway systems?
I haven't analyzed it in detail, but it's certainly something I think I'm going to, because it's a very good point that they bring up there. Because when I wrote the book, and in the book there's a number of cases like that. There's one over Illinois, very close to Scott Air Force Base again, in the early 70s, where this large triangular UFO was reported in the Metro East Journal, which was the local newspaper of the time. Before I was engaged in historical UFO research specific to the triangles, I was going through some microfilm about 10, 15 years ago, and just pulled that out along with a number of other articles, but as I was putting together my triangular UFO research, found that account, and this triangular UFO basically paced this car and scared these two teenagers half to death, and they accelerated up to like 80, 85 miles an hour, and this triangular UFO was keeping pace with them, and interestingly enough, they described girders or beams on the underside of this object, similar to like Hudson Valley later in years. But I also, in the course of writing the book to get the information out there, as you can appreciate, Chris, I started getting this influx of reports coming in from readers and from people that heard about my book. And one was over in the UK, a woman that lives in Clacton-on-Sea, right off the English Channel. And she reached out to me because her and her daughter had a sighting back in the late 80s. They were driving their little Ford Fiesta that had a sunroof. And they were going down one of the major arteries in the southern of England. They described this triangular UFO that came up over the highway and kept pace with their vehicle. And interestingly enough, it mirrored reports that I had already documented in the book from that general time frame, where it's as though these triangular UFOs were following these interstates, were following these cars. And there was even a case from Project Blue Book involving two police officers in Texas where a similar incident occurred. So yes, there does appear to be a pattern. Now, why they're doing this, I don't know. Are they simply observing the activity of individuals on these interstates, or, you know, are they intimidating or trying to harass people just to see what type of response that they elicit? I don't know, but there are a number of cases where that is indeed the case.
Big question here, and something we've been talking about in the Paracast in recent weeks, is what we see, what we get. When people see these structured craft flying in the skies, triangular shaped or elsewhere, is that what the real phenomenon is, or are we just getting a flavor of it in accordance with what we expect to see?
In other words, is perception reality?
Something like that.
David, well, we want all the answers of the mysteries of the universe. Come on.
Right.
Come
now. On. I want it right now. I need it. I want the answers. I want the truth. I want disclosure. You can. No, forget it.
If we can assume that there is a tangible reality behind some of these reports, unfortunately, we are only susceptible to our own level of perception. You know, all we can do is document what we're perceiving. There may be a reality behind what we're perceiving. There's unfortunately no way to substantiate that. That being said, I think we need to appreciate that when we are talking about observations, and this is certainly not a new idea. This goes back to the early 60s. Researcher Otto Binder even talks about this. He talks about the fact that when these objects disappear, are they in fact, quote unquote, disappearing? Or are they shifting the frequency of light around the object where it's simply moving into the ultraviolet or infrared spectrum, where we're just simply not perceiving it any longer? Admittedly, our perceptions are very limited just in relation to animals, other animals on this planet.
Before our perceptions get too limited by the network, let's do our break. We have David Marler with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, David Marler, maybe you don't subscribe to the possibility that we're all just living in pods and the computerized intelligence is directing our perception of reality then.
I don't know if we're living in the Matrix or not, if that's what you're asking me, Gene.
All right. We're not going to get into that. That's just too wacky for anybody's eyes. But the reason I mentioned that is looking at how UFOs were perceived and how they've migrated. So if more of the triangular UFOs tend to be a more recent phenomenon, we see more of them. How does one explain this migration and the way that UFOs are presented or occur?
Well, I think with regard to the increased frequency of reports, which, you know, based on the reports that various organizations and investigators are receiving, they do appear to be increasing. I think just like the UFO subject in general, though, you know, when we talk about areas that have waves or flaps of activity, I think you do have possibly genuine unidentified objects that were initially reported. But then as it generates media attention, as people become aware of it, then they start thinking that when they see a satellite or a shooting star that maybe they've seen a UFO. I don't think that we can separate that aspect from the triangular UFO mystery, namely that someone sees a documentary, they're talking about triangular UFOs, and then they go out and they see a 747 at a distance, too distant to hear the jet, but they see the landing lights on the object, namely three points of light. And so they attribute that, oh, maybe that's one of those triangular UFOs. So I don't think we can ever rule that out, that there's a lot of noise in the data, so to speak. And we need to kind of sort through that and parse the data to try to find what are legitimate experiences and which ones aren't. As far as the frequency, even if we can remove some of the noise, there does seem to be a shift in the nature of reporting. I quote some of the statistics from the National UFO Reporting Center, and the classic flying disc or flying saucer is kind of taking a back seat to these triangular UFO reports. And in speaking with MUFON, various chapters of MUFON, Florida, for example, right now, they just informed me last weekend that they have an influx of triangular UFO reports that are occurring. I don't know what is causing that. Is that a shift in the phenomenon itself, or is that a shift, getting back to your comment about perceptions, we're just perceiving the reality differently than we did, you know, in the early days when we had the flying disc or flying orbs that were being reported? I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately.
Well, you know, you're suggesting that there may be, and I'm putting this out as a hypothetical, there may be some sort of conforming to expectation. The more people are aware of a particular craft shape, in the 50s, it would be flying saucers, and, you know, the day the Earth stood still, George Adamski and others, and then as we see it morphing into, you know, the present day, there's been more of an emphasis after the stealth fighter, the B-2, more of an emphasis on the triangular shape in people's consciousness. Maybe it's conforming itself to our expectations.
Well, I believe even the late researcher John Keel, I think, even touched on that. It's almost like it's teasing us. It's like just beyond our level of technology in the way that it presents itself. And, you know, we could even go back to the old airship sightings, you know, 1896, 1897. People are reporting these unusual objects. Well, they didn't look that dissimilar from dirigibles of the time, but they were just a little bit different. You know, they had electric lights or they had spotlights. So it's almost like whatever this phenomenon is, and we almost have to delineate the subjective versus the objective reality.
Right.
And I'm not quite sure how to do that, gentlemen.
Well, here's another question that I have. Do we see a clustering of these reports? Let's say, take North America, for instance. Obviously, in the Belgium wave, some of the English reports, they did tend to cluster. But here in this country, are they just willy-nilly? They just pop up everywhere, or do we actually see concentrated areas where these reports tend to cluster?
Well, again, with regard to frequency data, as you know, it's so frustrating because, admittedly, you know, we estimate we only probably receive one out of every 10 reports, you know, one report for every 10 sightings that are actually out there. So, admittedly, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. But it seems like it's pretty generalized as far as the activity. I'm getting emails and phone calls from people all over the country as well as the world reporting these things. As I mentioned, though, there do appear to be areas. For example, James Clarkson up in Washington State, MUFON, he's had a number of triangular UFO reports that he's been keeping me abreast of, as well as the Florida MUFON group. But unfortunately, though, we don't have any formalized, centralized network for reporting. So, admittedly, I'm getting these reports kind of on an ad hoc basis. If we had one centralized reporting center where we could basically channel all the UFO reports to one location, then I think we might be able to gain a better appreciation of the true nature of frequency data and clustering of frequency reports.
Well, we're going to have to start calling you Triangular Report Man and do a concerted effort to get the word out that if you see one of these triangular UFOs, you know where to call.
Please. Yes, please do. But like I said, I've had a number of foreign individuals contact me from various countries, which has been extremely exciting because, again, you know, I think sometimes as researchers, I think it's just natural. We kind of develop this parochial mindset where we're looking at our state or our country. And it's been very encouraging to hear from readers and other individuals from various countries sharing their insights and their stories. And,
yeah, that's a good point.
It's exciting and interesting to hear that because it goes beyond what a lot of the sociologists will say. Well, this is just a cultural phenomenon. Well, not if it's being reported worldwide and not right. If it transcends decades. I think that argument kind of disintegrates right before our eyes.
It falls far short. How about foreign reports from Asia, for instance, China, parts of India, in the Far East? Occasionally you'll hear about triangular shapes, but it doesn't seem to be a predominant type of description that you hear from the Far East, for instance.
Well, I would say, again, taking more of a general look, that unfortunately, due to language barriers and other things, that really we don't receive a lot of UFO reports in general from these areas relative to, say, the UK, for example, or Canada. And I really would like to establish more connections internationally with some of these groups. Researcher Ted Bonnet out in California, he's in the process of writing an article on UFO reports and the shortage of those coming out of China. And I'm sure, given the not only the size of the country, but the sheer population, as you can appreciate, they have plenty of eyewitnesses over there.
Well, they also have the largest UFO group. There's over a million members.
Exactly. I'm sure they're getting lots of reports. But I think, and again, I don't know how to go about doing this, we really need to work on establishing better international ties with these foreign countries and sharing more information. We all kind of have our little databases of information, but we need to start opening that up. And certainly with the technology now compared to 20, 30 years ago, we have that ability with Skype and with other, you know, with email, with webinars and things like that. We can start to open up a larger worldwide global dialogue on the subject.
We just have to get Google to kind of brush up their translation program, because some of the translations coming from China are actually kind of comical.
Yeah. So, you know, but I think it would be really interesting to be able to do that, or to try to work towards that endeavor, with maybe the exception of North Korea.
Well, the thing I wonder here when it comes to translation, I know my wife was looking to combine French and English words for the name of a new company that she and her sister are establishing. And we would go on to Google Translate, and some of those translations were a bit funky. And I understand that the Chinese do not like Google. They're not very welcome in China, so maybe this is a way of getting back at them. Of course, I haven't tried the Klingon translations yet, because I expect they're going to be fascinating. We've got one more segment to spend with our guest, David Marler, about triangular UFOs and the future. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. Here and here, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM. I recently learned about a very unusual pharmacist who does not advocate use of prescription drugs, except in rare circumstances, say when powerful antibiotics are needed to kill a potentially lethal infection, such as pneumonia or staph. Instead, pharmacist Ben Fuchs from Boulder, Colorado, suggests always giving the body all the nutrients it needs to survive, thrive, escape illness, and live younger and longer. I don't think you will find anyone who knows more about how the body works and can explain it in such a delightful and entertaining way. Ben has recorded some very useful health nugget minutes that are available 24/7 online at criticalhealthnews.com. I invite you to log on to criticalhealthnews.com, listen to these pharmacist Ben health nuggets, and maybe even interact with Ben via chat or email. You're going to love pharmacist Ben online at criticalhealthnews.com.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned into his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to Guns80.com or call and ask for the sweetheart deal. Love is in the air at Guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call Guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at Guns80.com on the web.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's go back to the cutting edge of this story here, David Marler. With regard to these triangular UFO structured craft, does this mean they got to be ET? It can't be anything else?
No, we alluded to the fact earlier in my presentations, I say there's three sides to the triangle, and I think there's three probable explanations for what we're dealing with. One, I think, again, the most prosaic is that this is United States military hardware that we're seeing. Now, at least some of the accounts. But again, that doesn't explain the reports back in the 50s, the 60s, and it certainly begs the question, why are we flying these around the globe, over countries that are supposedly our allies without their knowledge, without their permission? There's certain practical questions that come to play. But I do believe, based on the exotic nature, based on the flight characteristics, the flight dynamics that have been demonstrated, again, back in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, as well as today, that we are dealing with some other type of technology, and I won't even begin to speculate where that might derive from. But, you know, the third side of the triangle, I think realistically we're dealing with a combination of both. That, yes, we have triangular aircraft, the B-2 stealth bomber, the stealth fighter, but certainly if we know about those, admittedly, you know, they're five or six steps beyond that. If, you know, whatever's being declassified today, they're five or six steps beyond that. It's naive to assume that they don't have technologies in advance of that. So we can't definitively sit here and state that our military does not have aircraft that conform to the description and the flight dynamics that are being performed. But again, I think we have to look at the history, though, that, okay, if we can summarily discount all modern-day triangular UFO reports, how do we account for these back in the earlier decades?
Question that we can't answer.
Exactly. And that's and that's just it. I mean, I tried to put together the historical narrative regarding these triangular UFOs, compare it to the contemporary reports. And at the end of the day, I mean, the reader and the researchers out there have to arrive at their own conclusions. One of the things I state in my book, and I'm afraid there's a lot of researchers out there in the field today that don't conform to this. There is no shame as a UFO researcher when posed a question to answer with the statement, I don't know. There's no shame in that.
Let me say this. This is very funny that you raised this. Years ago, I was just a wee lad peering at a UFO investigative group in Atlanta, Georgia. And I gave my presentation, tried to be straight and narrow like you are now. You know, you're not telling us it has to be this explanation or this. We're looking at possibilities. We don't know yet. A lot of work has to be done. I try to take that position, a strict scientific evaluation. And boy, they were after me. I was really young then, so you know, I didn't have all the skills I've developed over 400 years of radio broadcasting. But in those days, they were really went after me. They had to have the answer. I had to be the guy who was going to tell them what UFOs really were. And I think that may be why people want to believe it's ET or anything, because they don't want a mystery that can't be explained.
Well, and that's just it. And that's what I tell people in my lectures. There's a reason we call it a mystery, because no one has any definitive answers.
Ray Stanford thinks he does.
Well, yes. I was going to say, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't strive towards trying to achieve those answers.
And besides which, Chris, we've had back and forth discussions on this. If Ray Stanford has the answers, you know, it's getting late. Yep. What are those answers?
Well, he thinks that pencil-thin grandmother ships 14 miles long are discharging 1,400-foot black triangles that are discharging smaller scout craft, and that these black triangles dock with the grandmother ships. And he claims, again, I have seen some of the stills from these movies, and it sure looks like these things are docking underneath these grandmother ships and potentially discharging Clip Delta Wing craft and more commonly referred to as flying saucer, discoidal type craft, or possibly hexagonal, actually poly-sided craft that are misconstrued as discs. And as I said in my initial phone call with you, David, I think you would be absolutely fascinated to be turned on to Ray's work, and it may or may not give you a little bit of a leg up on this situation. I'm still the jury's out as to you know, if let's say Ray's work is real and his interpretation of these craft and his analysis is correct. I'm not fully convinced they're coming from other star systems, but the amount of visual evidence that he is analyzing is very compelling. And I would love to get Ray out into this neck of the woods at some point. And boy, you're going to be one of the first people that I let know about that, and we'll try to get some sort of invitation only or even a public meeting so that we can expose some of this information. I think you would find it fascinating.
Absolutely, yeah. Ray, as you mentioned towards the beginning of the show, Ray was one of those that reached out to me after my book was published.
Right.
And I was ecstatic because I have a lot of respect for Ray. If for nothing else, his tenacity to continue to pursue this mystery after decades, you know, from when he and his brother were teenagers in the mid-50s.
In the early 50s.
There aren't many people that have that level of tenacity. You know, he and Jacques Vallée are two names that immediately come to mind. You know, two people that, you know, I hold in pretty high regard as well, I might add. But when you think about that, it's literally a lifetime of pursuit and investigation and research. So my hat is off to people like Ray and Dr. Vallée for just the sticking with this as long as they have. And as we all know, you know, it's not necessarily the phenomenon and the mystery of the phenomenon that's frustrating. It's some of the people within the UFO community that are the most frustrating.
That's an understatement.
Care to drop a few names on us?
No, I'd rather talk about those that I like rather than those I dislike.
Let me ask you this then, and this goes
you
back.
You missed your calling. You should have been a politician, man.
Let's go back to this then. There is a site now inactive called UFOWatchdog.com that we used to control here at the Paracast before it reverted to its original owner, Royce Myers. And that is, if you look at the list, the Hall of Shame was much, much larger than the Hall of Fame, the people who are doing good work. So I hope that you don't have the same opinion, that more people are doing wacky stuff.
You know, I haven't actually really sat down to kind of crunch the numbers, but let me just say that, you know, there's a small percentage of people that I hold in very high regard, and Chris, certainly you're one of them, and I'm not just saying that, you know, to kind of, you know, butter you up on the show here, but you really are following the evidence to where it leads, regardless of what that outcome is, and that's what I've been trying to do as well.
Right.
Again,
it doesn't make you very popular.
it doesn't matter what I personally believe. What matters is where the evidence seems to take us or where the information is leading us.
That's a good ending. Okay, David Marler, can you tell our listeners where they can find more of the stuff that you do?
Well, I'm actually in the process of developing my website. I'm having a meeting later today to get the ball rolling on that, so I don't have it up and running yet. The best place is just to go to Amazon.com, where they can find information on myself as well as a description of the research contained in the book.
And since we do put up websites, in fact, we're hosting this site now on a genuine Mac Mini, believe it or not. We have a little expertise in the area, so let me know. You can reach out to me, and I'll try to help if I can.
Excellent.
We also have a presence on Twitter if you're looking for one. On Twitter, we're The Paracast. We are The Paracast on Twitter. I'm also looking into opening a section on Pinterest, okay? We also have that other special service called The Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. You can subscribe for $5 a month, $50 a year. Here is what you get. The ad-free version of The Paracast. You asked for it. Higher resolution copy. Okay? You also get the After The Paracast podcast, where Chris and I talk about all sorts of fascinating subjects. And maybe we'll have some special guests on there in the future. We'll be adding more features. Plus.theparacast.com. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com. I know he's going to be updating it real soon now with more fascinating information. But if you visit there and you buy one of his books, the print edition, we hope, because there's nothing like print. You can get the Kindle versions, too. If you get the print edition, Chris will ship it. But first, he'll sign it. And if you buy his newest book, Stalking the Herd, it'll be numbered. I think he starts the numbers at 3 million, right, Chris?
Nope, just 1 to 1,000. That's it.
Okay. So he's running out of copies. That's it. This has just been such a fascinating session. Glad to meet you, David Marler. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN. We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tab or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.